Welcome to another episode of 360 Degrees, part of the Urban Breakdown Network. It is Saturday, April 13th, a few days away from my birthday. I you know what? I'm
Is your birthday on tax day?
No.
Okay.
My birthday is the 18th, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, but close enough. So I actually did an old man thing yesterday. I got a colonoscopy done, and I will tell you that the prep is worse than the actual colonoscopy because you're asleep for pretty much all of it.
Yeah, I literally just took my mother to hers on Monday of this week.
And I will say I took an extra day off because of my first one. I didn't know what to expect, so
Oh yeah,
I
you're
figured,
back to
all right,
regular food by like the next day.
well, probably the same day for me because after the colonoscopy, my friend and I we went to Briggs. Right after the colonoscopy. But my thing was, I took the Thursday off as well because I was just like, I didn't know how I was going to be without solid food for a whole day. It turns out perfectly fine. So the next one I have, I'll just take the day of the colonoscopy off and I could go to work the day before because it wasn't as bad as I envisioned it in my mind. Because they
Yeah.
said you could have like scrambled eggs and toast for breakfast and then nothing solid the rest of the day. So you could have Sprite and, nothing colored. So you could have Sprite.
Yeah.
You have
Yeah.
clear Gatorade and
Ginger
then
ale.
water and then chicken broth, which by itself is disgusting. So wasn't enough seasonings to make that thing edible. But I actually didn't really start feeling hungry until I woke up the next day. The whole day I was pretty much fine.
Okay.
But they found a couple of polyps in there, which they removed on the spot. And then
Right.
it, other than that, everything looked good. They give you pictures of the inside of your own colon, which, if not talking in a medical term, would sound totally disgusting. But my friend and I are in the car just looking at pictures of the inside of my colon, like people who've been friends for 40 years could do. So, Odie, how are you today?
I'm doing well. I'm gonna be celebrating one of my other favorite Aries this evening. So shout out to one of my longest friends from high school, Tamika. So I look forward to celebrating her.
All right. Happy birthday,
Even though her
Tamika.
birthday's tomorrow.
Happy birthday, Tamika, my unknown Aries buddy.
Yes.
All right. Odie, what you got for us today?
All right. So I'm going to start out on a really high note. Like, shout out to the Lady Gamecocks of South Carolina for beating Iowa. I'm definitely disappointed that Angel Reese didn't make it all the way from Louisiana, but it's all good. Like,
Yeah.
I mean, she still has opportunity. It looks like she might be entering the draft to go to the WNBA. I am no expert in basketball, but from a lot of experts or people who enjoy the sport and have been paying more attention than I have been paying attention, have kind of said she's not ready. Caitlin Clark from Iowa is probably poised to be the number one pick. I personally would have taken the big three deal. The details of that deal were leaked. And quite a bit of money was on the table for that. I don't know if that was like leaked by her as leverage or leaked by Ice Cube's people as leverage, because maybe like I
Probably
feel
by
like
Ice Cube.
I would say Ice Cube would have more to gain, right, in that situation,
Right.
because it's like, oh, like they're paying people over the big three now. It makes your shit a little more popular. Like, more people would be like, oh, let me see what's going on over there, because even if I don't get the same type of money that Caitlin's gonna get, I can get a piece of that pie, you know, a couple mil or something, like, which would be better than what the WNBA is playing.
Yeah, I mean, how long has Angel Reese been playing college sports? She's been this is
I
because
think
I
she's
figured
a
when she's going
senior.
to.
Is she a senior? Is she graduating?
I thought she was a senior. So I was
Yeah.
just like, okay, like, why would she not be ready for the WNBA if she's been playing for years and has already been a champion?
Yeah, so and when I say experts, I mean my husband. He's been paying attention more, because I mean, like, let's just be honest. Like, I'm rooting for the home girl, the home team, you know?
Yeah.
So that's the only reason I'm like, damn, I want this for her. But Angel Reese is apparently he was just saying like she's just not like as far as her game itself goes, she's just not ready. He said she would have to be picked up by a team that's willing to invest in her and develop her a little bit more. But
That's definitely fair.
is she popular? Yes. So will the WNBA be getting views off of this? I mean, this is literally off the heels of let me pull up the exact numbers. The women's basketball TV viewership is up across the board this year. The records have been shattered at a college level, fans flooding in to watch the pros. The NCAA title game on Sunday set a new record, drawing an average of 18.7 million viewers and peaking at 24 million, and that was for the final game. Everybody has said that they watched the women's, they didn't even pay attention to the men's tournament, and that they really enjoyed it. I actually watched the final tournament, I mean the final game in the tournament as well. So yeah, like women are killing it, and I think like this is prime opportunity for a team that might not be able to pay Angel Reese well right now. I think she could be taken under some team's wing to develop her game. So either way, I wish them luck because, you know, it's all about the ladies. Like, ladies first. Like, why not? It's our time.
Yep, absolutely. And I don't have it in front of me. I was trying to find it real quick, but Dawn Staley, I think, is the first black coach to win three national titles. Did I
That's
have
what's
that right?
up. I don't know that to be true, or not true. So, but if that is true, then shout out to her. Like, why not? Why not? So I just shout out to the ladies, man. Like we out here working hard, and people have been talking shit for years, like, oh, women's basketball isn't entertaining, and that's why the WNBA is like in shambles. But it looks like they've been doing a good job of trying to put more visibility out there, you know, and then having the NBA players show up at the WNBA games and vice versa. Like, that's how it should be. That's what support looks like. So yeah, I think it's a good look. Like, it's gonna take some time to build, but it's looking promising. It's looking promising. So shout out to the ladies. All right, so oh my gosh. On the flip side of things, one of my favorite R&B artists, I love her and I really do want the best for her, is Summer Walker. She's funny as fuck. I don't know if you've ever seen like any of her posts on social media.
No.
But she is really funny. She's obviously like very talented. She could sing. She's I think me as like an R&B purist, my favorite type of R&B songs are duets. And she plays well, very well with Usher Raymond. Like, they've had a couple songs together, and I've always liked them. But she doesn't pick the best men. Like, she just doesn't pick the best men to be in relationships with. And so sometime last year, we saw her going on and off with Meech, Little Meech. And that's Demetrius Flannery, also known as part being Little Meech from the BMF family. Oh my gosh. Merch, you don't watch that show, do you?
No.
It's such a good show. But anyway, it's based on these like real life drug dealers that they ended up being like drug kingpins. His brother, there's Big Meech and Terry. They're from Detroit. It's about their family. They're like kind of the reason that a lot of rappers ended up getting funded in the 90s, because that's how they were washing their money. It was like through rappers and through the music industry. And that whole like lavish lifestyle of like throwing money in the air and taking private jets and shit like that, like for a weekend, like that's those guys. Like that was their brand. And so the son plays his father on the show. And that's who Summer Walker was dating on and off last year. But We definitely saw a video of him like cheating. He said that he was taking groceries in the house for his cousin, but we know that that wasn't the case. Like, he was definitely having sex with that lady. But in any case, then she had a baby. I think her child's father is Metro Boomin. So she has a baby with Metro Boomin, and then she had twins with somebody else. So when by the time she got to Meech, everybody was just like, please just don't have a baby with this guy. Like take your time. Like, because at this point she was like just having babies with whoever she was in a relationship with. So it wasn't that far-fetched to think. Like, again, because she's very likable. It's just that she just makes these terrible decisions in men. And so yeah, she ends up turns out she does end up in another relationship now that she's officially done with Meech, it seems. And so I understand. I'm not single anymore, obviously, but I understand like why people do like soft launches of their boyfriend. Side note, I basically know Beyonce now. I don't think I've told you this or talked about this, but a former coworker of mine, I believe, is currently engaged to LaToya Luckett of Destiny's Child. So, like, I have narrowed down the degrees of separation of me being closer to Beyonce by like 3 degrees now. so I feel like I basically know her. Like, I could call her if I really wanted to. Be a weirdo, obviously. But I'm bringing that up because I remember she like kind of soft launched him. Like, she doesn't put outright pictures of them. It's usually like a collage, and it's like a really flash, a really quick picture of him. And so, but even leading up to that, you would see them like holding hands, but you wouldn't see his face. But I knew that it was him because he was posting it to his page, and I follow him. His page is private, but I follow him, and in his stories and stuff like that, like, I would clearly see LaToya Luckett. So I'm like, oh shit, like, he's dating LaToya Luckett. That's really cool. And they seem happy together, most importantly. Like, that's what I want for them. And he's a really nice guy. But anyway, I digress. I see why people soft launch their boyfriends, because it's like, once you put their picture out there, anybody that's dated them in the past is gonna come back and say things like, this person is really terrible, or like, just share their experiences, especially when they're tied to a celebrity. In this case, we're talking about Summer Walker. Well, Summer did not believe in soft launching her boyfriend. She just got with him. She posted, because her birthday came recently, which makes sense. Like, she definitely seems like an Aries. But in any case, he said that he called her the love of his life. Said happy birthday to the love of my life. And I'm just like, okay, if y'all just got together, calling each other the love of your life is weird. And so Summer Walker put this post up on her birthday. My gift to myself at the age of 28 is the word no. A regulated nervous system living slowly, softly, intentionally. This is also paired with photos of the two of them hugged up near some sort of waterfall, it looks like. So not even 24 hours later, the girls came back and was like, oh, this nigga's terrible. So basically we see posts from X, it looks like. The caption says, oh my God, this nigga who exposed me in 2015. Most of the shit that's out there of me without my consent, I sent to him and he posted it when I said I didn't want to talk to him anymore. Oh my God, this nigga is crazy and evil. Miss B Nasty had an issue with his ass too, shaking my head. Now, for context, this woman is a model. And that was a common thread between all of them, that they were models. He was a photographer, and he became like kind of possessive of the models. And again, like, if you told him no, then he would like release your pictures and shit. Some woman said, now, and these are also like old posts too. So like, that gives them a higher level of validity because obviously, like, they're not just saying this because it's Summer Walker with him now. You know what I mean? It's just like, oh, okay, like, these are old allegations from several years ago before 2021, I believe. Also, when I met this man, I didn't know he had an OnlyFans because I met him on Instagram through his photography page called Lush Legends. It wasn't until after our first link he told me he had an OnlyFans account, but he would delete it if we made an account together. I wasn't on that shit, so he kept the account, but he insisted that he was gonna continue fucking women on there, but it's only business and that he loved me. LMAO.
Oh, Jesus.
So once I cut him off, not shortly after that, I see he'd have made a joint OnlyFans account with another girl. So I'm like, okay, this nigga is strange. But that was short-lived because a week later he reached back out to me co for confessing his love for me and that he deleted the OnlyFans account. Another girl, the person that was initially mentioned, Miss Be Nasty, her post is from April 11th, so this was like a recent post, but she said he was telling me he loved me, and when I declined, he said he would pull up to my city and make me love him. He tells new models that we dated and I've never met him. He's locked models out of accounts. He runs accounts like he's the model, etc., for a decade now. Somebody said a decade. He pulled the same shit with me. He was acting like he was in a relationship and I never met him in person. He got real crazy real fast. He has serious issues. This happened to me 9 years ago. Thank you so much for sharing as well. 9 years ago, I missed that. And so then people started pulling up the old threads from t or old tweets from 2021. When I first started working with him, we never established a relationship or anything. So I started working with someone else. He saw it immediately, attacked me in messages, FaceTime me, calling me all types of hoes, saying he expected it because I'm nothing but a young hoe. And then the Miss Be Nasty lady said he wants to keep every model to himself, tries to control all their social medias, even tries to control their personal lives. I wish more people would speak up about this harassment and stalker-ish. And then somebody said he's Lush Legends as he uses Lush Legends photography, but she said he just rebrands himself and keeps going because when he went from Wang World and iBaddies to Lush Legends photography. So yeah, this was 3 years ago they were talking about this experience. So it's definitely not new, but it's also not old behavior either. So the chances that he has changed and a reformed person, slim to none. I
Right.
don't believe it. I don't believe it. And I want better for Summer. And she's getting older too, so it's like I was willing to give her the benefit of the doubt when she was like, 23. But like, ma'am, you're 28, you're approaching 30. Like, when is the 25-year-old brain gonna turn on?
You know, it's kind of funny if you're a driver, they don't consider you to be an adult driver until you're 25, you know? So when people do stuff when they're like 21, 22, 23, you can let it pass because, you know, their brains are still developing, you know? But I mean, some people just are who they are, you know? They just can't get out of their own way. So we can hope that she does better, but she's the one who has to see the choices that she's making and then just work to improve it from there, you know? Not much we could do for her.
Pretty much, pretty much.
All we could do is pray.
The good news is we'll get good music out of this for sure. She's like the modern day Mary J. Blige. So we'll get some good content out of that. Okay, so on another note, we have everybody seems to be beefing this season. I don't know what that's about, but I mean, last week we saw beef with J. Cole and Kendrick.
I have no clue what that's about because, yeah, that was just kind of I'm like, hip hop is weird now.
It is now, but the thing is though, like at the end of the day, like yesterday or excuse me, last weekend was Dreamville. Cole put out a project, Might Delete Later, which he did delete this week, actually. But I feel like I feel like Kendrick is a worthy adversary, at least. Like, I don't think Drake is seeing Kendrick on any level. Sorry, he's just not. Now, is he popular? Is his music okay? Sure, yes. I'm not saying his music is bad. I'm just saying he's not a worthy adversary against Kendrick. Like, Kendrick will wrap circles around a nigga. So just like, no. And have substance behind it. That's what I'm saying. So Cole rightfully responded. I think that Kendrick respects him. Like, he at least respects Cole. I don't think he even respects Drake.
No.
But at the end of the day, like, we got, I guess we got a little music out of this. I don't know. Whatever. The bottom line is, ain't nobody talking about it no more. And now we talking about Quavo and Chris Brown. Now, Chris Brown is not a rapper, but he do be rapping.
Yeah.
He do be rapping. And he does well when he raps, in my opinion. I think, like, he snaps. He does snap. Okay, so Chris Brown dropped the project on Thursday. Am I going to listen to it? No. Because it's way too long. It's like a deluxe album or something. Burst, my bad. What you gotta. Okay, yeah. Gotcha. So Chris Brown dropped the project on Thursday. My allergies, side note, my allergies are terrible. Like, I've noticed, like, my nose is stopped up. But anyway, Chris Brown dropped a project on Thursday. It's like a deluxe version of, like, one of his albums, I think. But again, like, it's way too long. Like, I don't know who has the attention span to listen to it. But then again, I listened to the Beyonce album, and that was actually pretty long too. So I guess I make exceptions when I feel like it. But apparently he does seem to be taking shots at Quavo, who was rumored to be dating Karrueche at one point, who's Chris Brown's ex. We know that Chris Brown has a type for sure. He likes them very petite, and fair skin. And ever since Karrueche, he likes them blazing, it seems like. But he's also been known for being abusive to her. The line says, "Okay, now fucking my old bitches ain't gonna make us equal. Sipping that 1942 because I ain't got no Cuervo," which does sound like Quavo, obviously. He also goes on to say, "Freak bitch, she like Casamigos, not the Migos. I don't fuck with bougie bitches, man. That shit is all hype." I don't know if that line necessarily referred to Karrueche, but I just think it's weird to take shots at Quavo when they're not even together anymore, to my knowledge.
Yeah.
And just fighting over women that you once slept with that you're not even with is weird anyway. Like, just fighting over women, period. Fighting over men, fighting over people. Like, you don't own anybody.
I mean,
And the
they're
truth of the
both
matter
weird.
is, like, everybody's gonna have a history. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're both a pair of weirdos to begin with, and then it to me, it's like I was kind of interested in this whole Cole Kendrick thing. Kendrick always throwing shots out there to see who responds, and it was
Yeah, he's
interesting
like
to,
sharpening his tools to me.
yeah,
More of like a exercise.
it was interesting until Cole apologized. Now I was just like, I'm not interested anymore. This I was interested in from the start, not just because I'm not a fan of Migos or Chris Brown, but what they're fighting over is just trivial. Like, nobody
But
cares.
usually it is a woman, though. Like,
Yeah.
usually 9 times out of 10, it is a woman.
But
Now,
it's
I
not
don't
a
think
woman
that's
that
the
either
case.
one of them is it one that either one of them are with at the moment?
No.
Then it doesn't matter.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's, and honestly, if I was Karrueche, I would be embarrassed that I was tied to either one of them, to be
Yeah.
honest. Like, and let's not forget too, like, I don't know. Just no. Anyway, so Quavo does seem to respond. He says, talking about the whole loyal nigga, your hoe probably at the spot right now eating dick. You know what I'm saying? I'm next. I'm next, nigga. You know what I'm saying? You're hoeing the spot. So basically going on to say, like, nigga, it's just my turn. Like, don't get your panties in a bunch. It's my turn. Like, I'm not trying to, like, I never was taking her seriously. Like, it was just my turn. Signs of the stone, carrots, bullshit, signs of the stones. You did the hoe wrong and now the bitch gone. You did the bitch wrong, now the bitch gone. She posted with a thug. Call the bitch phone, she won't come home. Don't beat her up. It must be the drugs. Need to cross out your plug.
You
So
know,
obviously that's talking about allegations that Chris Brown beat Karrueche up when he was coked up, because he's definitely been known to do that as well.
it's kind of funny. You have people like Eminem and other rappers who just make like whole entire songs about mumble rappers, and Black Thought just summed it all up into one sentence. I don't understand what these lame kids is talking about. And that's all he had to say. Like, what are you people saying? I don't know what you're saying. And it's not because I'm old, because I've been listening to hip hop all my life. But you dudes are just like, I don't know, man. It's like watching two bums fight over a sack of McDonald's. Like, it's interesting for like 2 seconds. Then it's like, oh, I gotta catch this bus. I gotta go to work. Like, you don't want to stand and watch this dumb shit.
Yeah, it's
Like,
just like
yeah. At least they have some lyrics behind it. I could be like, oh, okay, well, these dudes ain't fighting over nothing, but at least there's some good music out of it, some good lyrics. All right, these dudes just putting together, stringing together trash, and then just calling it diss tracks.
well, yeah, I would definitely classify these as shots fired, not diss tracks, because there's not enough substance here to qualify it, but
True.
definitely taking shots here. But again, I would be so embarrassed for my own vagina to be tied to either one of these. Like, just imagine you're just trying to date and be young and, like, figure out who you like, what you like, what you don't like, only to be, like, mentioned in music, like, when you're not even associated with these people anymore.
And
It's
here's
so weird. Like, oh my gosh, I would be so mad. I would be so mad if I was Karrueche. Like, she shouldn't be mad at herself, but I personally would be mad at myself. Like, I can't believe I fucking entertain these niggas. Like, that's what I would be mad about. Like, oh my gosh.
I mean, when you're taking shots at people, like subliminal shots, like Nas and Nostradamus, and he was like, you want a ball till you fall? I could help you with that. If you want, I could let a slug melt in your hat. And we all knew he was talking about, you know what I mean? But it was just like, first of all, you can't have a line like you treat the bitch wrong. Like that line just automatically says that you treat women wrong because you call them bitches. Like, what the fuck are you doing?
Not to mention, there is evidence. There is 100% a clip of Quavo when he was dating Saweetie, I think, in an elevator, and she was trying to snatch, like, a gaming system, I think, out of his hand. Remember this? This happened like maybe 2 years ago, and she was trying to snatch the gaming system out of his hand, and he pushed her down. He got aggressive. Like, he didn't beat her up or anything like that, or put hands on her. But it wouldn't have been a stretch to see him being more aggressive. You know what I mean? Like, so it's just like, but she, I mean, in all fairness too, she was like, I think she was being physical with him too. So, like, she wasn't 100% with clean hands in that scenario. But like, is he beating women like Chris Brown allegedly beats women? I don't think so. But, like, is he capable of putting his hands on one? Yes, I do believe that. So it's like, why are you calling him out for some shit that I believe you're capable of doing as well.
Absolutely. It's kind of like when Batman versus Superman came out and one reviewer called it Murder Man versus Captain Hypocrite. That's basically what we have here,
Yeah.
you know.
You know what they say, that old saying, and you point the finger, it's like three pointing back at you. So yeah. But that's where we at with it. And that's all I got.
Okay. I will say this, hold on. And I apologize for being unprofessional.
I know you're good.
But usually I have this stuff typed out beforehand and I'm like doing it during, so I could, when I post the videos, I could just do it in the smallest amount of time. So, but anyway,
Okay.
yeah, I, some of my friends, I love them to death, man. And these are intelligent people, but they want Joe Biden to win this election, but they're doing it by just browbeating people. And it's not really working at all, you know? And the orange man bad argument has diminishing returns. I think those returns have diminished as far as they will go. Like, nobody's really buying this shit. The only person that could convince me to vote for Joe Biden is Joe Biden. He ain't really doing it. So Joe Biden came out with another student loan forgiveness scheme. I guess you can call it a scheme at this point. You know, it reminds me of a line in a song from Living Color. He goes, I have no hopes or dreams. I have no ways or means. All I have is this scheme. And that's basically Joe Biden right now. So at first, I started reading it and I read it too fast, as I do sometimes. And it says, cancel up to $20,000 in federal loan interest regardless of income and out providing relief to millions of people whose debt exceeds the initial loan they took out. And I was like, yeah, Joe, that's what I'm talking about. That's what you should have done in the beginning. Wait, what? And I read it again. Federal loan interest. Who the fuck? Well, now keep in mind it says up to 20,000. Not people who have 20,000, but up to 20,000. Yeah, you wipe out the interest, but then what? You still have the loan. So I know that the loan is keeping a lot of people underwater, myself included. So I get that's a good thing. But what about the loan? You know, what are you gonna do about the loan, Joe? And then it says, okay, then there's another part to it. It says, entirely forgive the debt of anyone who's been making loan payments for more than 20 years. I don't know how many people that is, but whoever that is, they would appreciate it, right? Okay, I can get with that part of it. Now, this is what I added into this. That will help some people, especially those who are close to Social Security age, since defaulted student loans can now come off your Social Security. We can thank Biden for that too. Well, I don't know if that was Biden. I think that might have been Clinton who did that. Some Democrat fucked us in the ass on that one. It was either Biden or Clinton. Well, they were both in the same administration at that time, so it was the both of them. They tag teamed us. And then also cut down loans, not eliminate, but cut down loans of people who didn't receive sufficient financial value from their studies due to specific education quality issues. And people who may be eligible for loan forgiveness programs but haven't applied. Now that last part is pretty vague, right? We'll have to flesh out more than that. Here's the only problem with that. It is 7 months before the election. You have a 50-50 chance of not being president. Nothing you do is going to be set in stone in time for Donald Trump to take it away as soon as he becomes president again, which at this point is almost inevitable because, despite Joe's fake anger, he's still giving weapons and aid to Israel. So all those voters that he's losing in those swing states, he's already lost. And they're not coming back. They were talking to, I mean, now keep in mind the sample size for this is very small and not scientific. It was just somebody talking to like four or five black voters, young black voters in Atlanta, right? But they were already just like, yeah, we ain't voting for Joe Biden. You know, and basically they're saying, if we're withholding our vote and you don't listen to us and we withhold our vote and you lose, it's your fault, not our fault.
Right, because I told you what I was about. Like I told you where I was coming from. I was very upfront. You the one that reneged, not me.
You have to understand that for African Americans, seeing your people oppressed in real time is personal to us. You know, not all of us, but enough of us. You know, we still go through some of this stuff now, and I'll go over that in a moment. But Joe just doesn't get it. And then coming out with this half-ass student loan nonsense that's never even going to see the light of day because he thinks that young people will just get on board. I read the that I saw that on Instagram, and I read the comments. I must have read about 70 comments. None of
Wow.
them were positive. Now, granted, a handful of them were definitely from Trump supporters trying to like rabble rouse, but they didn't have to because the people weren't buying it at all.
Right.
They were like, this is nothing. This is not going to help enough people, you know? And yes, we understand that they were going to sue, probably the Republicans were going to sue to stop it. We get that. But the problem is, if you fought the good fight, then like I said before, it'd be like in those old gladiator movies. We'll put you on top of our shields and carry you to glory. But you just come out with some half-assed bullshit. It gets slapped down on the first try, and then you're just like, well, back to the drawing board for a year, and then come out with this shit. You were doing this for a year. This is the best you can come up with in a fucking year. 1 year. Oh my fucking
That's because
God.
he realized it was the project was due tomorrow, and he just started working on it today.
Basically, I mean, I know he's the president, he's doing a lot of shit at once, but that's why you have like an administration. It's not just you as the president. You have an administration. You could hire as many fucking people as you want to do what you need. And this is what you can come up with in a year. It's because he didn't want to fucking do it. I will give Obama one thing. I know I shit on Obama a lot, but going back and rereading a lot of stuff after Joe Lieberman died, right? How much he really got fucked over by Lieberman on the whole, I will say a lot of other things that he didn't really fight for, like abortion rights. He definitely didn't fight for that when he could have solved that problem when he had a super majority. But it really scarred Obama's legacy to say, I'm not passing this without a public option, talk about Obamacare, and then pass it without the public option because of the Democrats. Because of people like Joe Lieberman, who fucked him over, you know? And that was something that he did fight for, but there's nothing he could do. I mean, Lieberman had the leverage. That's why when Joe Lieberman died, I was like, good, fuck that guy, you know? So, I will say this though, this whole plan that he has, the whole plan is trifling. Like they said in the old movies, your whole style is chump. Because here's the thing. If it actually sees the light of day, it's going to help a lot of people. I'm good with that. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying don't be surprised if young people aren't impressed with it. Especially since it's not addressing the high cost of college. If Build Back Better had passed, then we'd have free public college. So if you can't get into some place like Brown or Harvard, you could still get a good education.
Or Duke, where they're revoking your your
Oh,
free rides.
I'll talk about that in a moment. That literally fell on my desk like yesterday. And we talked about this years ago, Odie. You remember about UCLA? When UCLA, as soon as they won their, this was a state case. When they won their affirmative action case, year after year, they admitted less and less black students, till at one point they only had like about 250, 300 black students in a 3,000 person admissions class. So last year there was a and let me get my article here. I thought I had it up. Nope, I don't. Oh, you know what? Hold on. I think I have the link here. Here it goes. Professionalism, folks. This is from Blavity.com, right? And they said Duke University announced it will no longer offer its Reginaldo Howard Memorial Scholarship Program, a full ride scholarship program offered to the top applicants of African descent. This news comes after last year's ruling by the Supreme Court to strike down race-based affirmative action in college admissions. I'm going to skip some of this. I want you to bear with me here. Duke is replacing the scholarship program with the Reginaldo Howard Leadership Program, which is open to all undergraduate students, regardless of race. Funding the scholarship will now go towards this new program. Now, here's the thing about that, right? If you look at the race makeup of Duke, 41% of Duke students are white. Only 7% of Duke students are African American.
I was gonna guess like 4%. So, better than I thought it was, I guess.
And in the middle is Asian Americans at 13.9%, Hispanics at 7 point, like African Americans are 7.1, Hispanics are 7.6, and then the rest are, like Native Americans 0.2%, shit like that. But so you and then here's the thing, in this program, it wasn't like this program was admitting like thousands of students. The program was established in 1979 in honor of Reginaldo Reggie Howard, Duke's first Black student government president. Applicants were required to show financial need, and selected undergraduate students were offered full tuition, room, and board. The scholarship chose 15 to 20 Black students who were also provided funding for independent research opportunities and domestic and international learning experiences. Okay. So now, instead of just having it just be for African American students, it's going to be for all students. But as was pointed out by Qasim Rashid, who one of my friends put me onto him, and I have not been disappointed. This dude is on point. He says, Duke admits 11% of the general applicants, but 23% of legacy applicants, whose parents and grandparents were accepted during Jim Crow. And like we mentioned before, Duke didn't even accept Black students until 1963. Now Black scholarships are banned, but racist Jim Crow legacy thrives. And then he talked about places like Harvard, talking about legacy. Legacy increases admission by 6 to 7 times. It says 70% of Harvard legacy students are white. And here is the clincher. 75% of white Harvard legacy students would not have qualified on test scores. Now, I always said that the difference between being a Nepo baby or not being a Nepo baby is your ability. Like I said, I used to work construction, and I wasn't a very good construction worker. So I was really never more than just a laborer, right? Not saying that laborers are like bottom of the barrel. I mean, we're just the most common people out there, It's medium skilled labor, I would say, right? Because you still have to know how to run light machinery. You still need to know what you're doing. You're just not operating giant cranes and payloaders if you're a laborer, right? But a lot of people who I knew who had kids that worked in construction, they knew what they were doing. One of the foremen, his name was Eddie. He had a son named Jamie. And Jamie was actually an excellent foreman. And this is according to my dad. And praise for my dad does not come easy. But he always liked Jamie. He said Jamie knows exactly what he's doing. So I don't really call it nepotism. I just call it more of a, I don't know, fast tracking, because he was going to get the
Yeah,
job anyway.
I mean, I think nepotism really is viewed as a bad word, but it shouldn't be. Really, nepotism, all it is it's just using your the now I will say the difference between legacy trust fund babies like and
Oh,
nepotism,
yeah.
like that's completely different. But just
Right.
like good old nepotism for the average person should work pretty well, because it just gives you an opportunity, like you said, a fast track to get in the door, but it doesn't actually keep you there. It
Right.
shouldn't actually keep you there.
Right. I mean, put it like this. If it was all about nepotism, I was a terrible construction worker. If it was all about nepotism, I'd still be doing that instead of what I'm doing now, as opposed to all the people who got in because they had dads who were in the union and stayed because they were great at what they did. In this case, so I mean, if you're like a great actor or an actress, even somebody who has like a, I guess like cross career stuff, like Tracee Ellis Ross, did she probably get some auditions because her mother was Diana Ross? Probably. But did she knock about the park and become popular on her own? Yeah, she did. But if you have a situation like Harvard, where 75% of white Harvard legacy students would not have gotten if their parents didn't give money to Harvard or if they didn't go to Howard. That's the problem, because that takes away from people who actually could have passed the test scores, no matter what color they were. And there you're just clogging up the whole thing with just mediocre people.
There you go.
So this whole thing about, Duke trying to cover their tracks and just say, oh, well, now we're going to open up to everybody. Well, guess what? Everybody doesn't have the same lack of circumstance. You understand? So you're just, I don't know. It just burns me when I saw that this morning. I was just like, yeah, this is fucking bullshit. You know, and it's gonna keep happening. You know, it's just gonna keep happening. I mean, I'll always say this. As far, I mean, for this presidential election, I could always, you know, somewhat cheerlead for the Democrats. I would just say, please vote in your local elections, even if you have to leave the top part blank because you can't stand Trump or Biden. Vote in your local elections, and just make sure that your judges, your sheriffs, you know, whoever else is on your ballot, that you vote for the right people in that circumstance. That's highly important because that's how shit like this happens. You know, don't forget, yeah, the Supreme Court fucked us on the student loan thing, but it was because states came up and brought that up to them and just said, hey, you know, we don't like this. We don't like people having choices. If they had choices, they wouldn't work for our shitty ass companies, you know. So this whole thing with Duke, it just leaves a bad taste in my mouth, and it's only going to get worse because now they're pretty much showing us the reason why we had affirmative action in the first place. What are your thoughts on this, Odie?
I just wish that there was like, it just seems like people by nature have a tendency to way overcorrect, like way overcorrect. And it's just like the once the pendulum swings in one direction, they just want to like completely swing it back. Like they don't acknowledge that there's a problem. They don't want to acknowledge that, yes, some corrective action might need to be taken, but maybe affirmative action is not the best solution or the most equitable solution for everyone, even though I think it was, but whatever.
Well,
There was like a whole episode on A Different World I remember where Freddie was working as a temp for Jaleesa's temp agency. And this black woman expressed her views, basically saying some bullshit like black people need to pull themselves up by their bootstraps.
oh boy.
Freddie, of course, was like, well, how many black people were here before you got here? And she was like, I'm not sure. And basically, like Freddie ended up getting fired, and potentially caused some problems or whatever for the for Jaleesa's agency, but. It's just crazy. Like that show is over 30 years old and still so relevant. Like, why the fuck are we still talking about this?
You know, I don't. I think someone posted this on Blue might have posted it on the Urban Breakdown Facebook page, but there was a clip that they were talking about. When you mentioned about stuff that happened so long ago that still applies now, it was a clip from Archie Bunker, right? Where Archie is celebrating the fact that they had gotten like I guess I don't know if they were in a union, but they won like a 15% raise, right? And Archie's son-in-law was, you know, he was kind of like, yeah, go, we go. But you could tell his face was just kind of like, So when Archie and Edith go in the other room to get, you know, like toasting glasses and stuff like that. And I keep forgetting the son-in-law's name, but he was just like, I didn't want to rain on his parade. And she was like, what? He's getting a 15% raise. But he was like, yeah, didn't you hear on the news? This inflation is going up by 12%. It's going to go
Right.
up. It's going to go up another 5% next, another 8% next year. So he thinks he's 15% ahead. He's really starting 5% behind. You
Yeah,
know?
it was Mike, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was something that came out like art, what All in the Family was that came out what in the 70s?
Yeah.
And this type of shit is still happening now. Like we get these little gains and people are like, oh, see, well, you got something, but yeah, the average cost of a car is $49,000, you know, as of a couple of years ago, because of inflation, and it never went down. That's why people are doing 7-year deals on their financing instead of 3 or 4, because they couldn't afford it otherwise. You know, I mean, you could just buy a Cybertruck if you want to. That's my sloppy segue into Elon Musk. I've been watching videos for the last day and a half of Elon Musk about customers complaining about the Cybertruck. Have you seen one like in real life? I haven't seen one either, but one of my friends took a picture of one. She saw one parked and she drove and she was like, this is the ugliest thing I've ever seen.
No, I've never seen one in real life, but I did see a video where people were like showing that safety standards wise, that shit will fucking crush your fingers.
Yes.
I did see that. Like, I think it was like the trunk or something. But yeah, it's you know what it reminds me of? I had an Atari, and one of my favorite games to play on that was this game called Moon something. Basically, like, I can't remember the name of the damn game. Damn, I'm old.
I know what you're talking about. You're like in a moon buggy, you're shooting laser.
Yeah, you're
And
shooting lasers and like you have to jump over craters and shit like that.
yes.
Yeah, that's exactly what this looks like to me. It looks like the moon buggy that I was driving from the 80s. It's very boxy.
I mean, it's pretty hideous, just looking at it. And
This goes to show, like, this reminds me of, like, you know, when designers like put out really, really ugly shit, and then you just see people wearing it. 'Cause I'm pretty convinced that people are just wearing this because it's expensive, not because it's actually fashionable or nice looking. Yeah, this reminds me of that. Like, it's just like, let's see what we can get away with to sell to rich people just so they can reflect their status, not necessarily say that. Saying that this is the best looking vehicle they've ever driven.
yeah. Basically, it's kind of like driving a Hummer. I mean, but at least Hummers are functional.
Yeah, Hummers look all right though. I'm not gonna lie. Like Hummers, I like in the 90s, I definitely wanted a Hummer. I saw that Rain video solidified it for me. That's when I wanted it, the Missy Elliott video. And speaking of Missy, shout out to her. This bitch is going on tour. Now that's some shit I want to see. I think she's going on tour with Busta Rhymes and Ciara? I don't know. I forgot the third person, but yeah. That shit looks live, not gonna lie.
But people who had Cybertrucks, like when you mentioned about the trunk crushing your fingers, somebody had a video where they were like they had the door open, and they took a carrot and they're slicing off pieces of the carrot on the side of the
Yeah.
door, about how sharp those doors are. Like, I mean, for children, it's probably going to be a safety nightmare. So,
100%, because it's just slicing right through.
yeah. So basically, they said that, and this is just some of the more common complaints from people who bought Cybertrucks recently. They said that the stainless steel exterior is impossible to keep clean. Some of them have even come with the trucks show up dusty for some reason. I don't know why that is. And I'm like, did they keep it in the box full of styrofoam packing peanuts? Like, why is your truck showing up dusty? It should be like shining in the sunlight. Some of them already have like if you don't wash it every day, some of them have already have like here it is. Complaints range from minor corrosion marks to orange rust appearing on the trucks. These trucks are 4 months, some of these trucks are 4 months old, and they already got rust on them. Now one of them is they said that people keep filming them in their cars and taking pictures with their iPhones and wanting to take a peek inside. To me, that would go for any sort of expensive car. Like someone had a Maybach, yeah, I want to see what it looks like on the inside since I'm never going to own one, So I don't really consider that to be a real complaint. But a few owners have experienced breakdowns shortly after receiving their Cybertrucks. So to imagine a brand new vehicle breaking down just minutes after delivery, issues like steering errors and flashing red screen. I saw a video of that. Where a dude was driving, like he was taping, his brand new Cybertruck, and he just starts to hear like the screen, the main screen starts flashing red, and just like a little siren inside the car. So he had to pull over and see what that was about. And most of all, the price. When Elon announced it, and I saw that video again this morning, he said that they were going to cost about $40,000. Those things start at 60K, and that's for the base model. So if you get extra stuff, it could run you close to 100 grand. So imagine, right? I mean, and then there's also issues with the range, as far as how far the battery will take you. There are people who got locked out of their Cybertrucks already. They couldn't get back in. It's been a nightmare on the launch, And For anybody else, you could take it in stride as just growing pains. But for someone as arrogant as Elon Musk, but here's the thing, it's not going to faze him at all. Someone had a tweet about Elon Musk. I refuse to call it X. It's always going to be Twitter, and there's always going to be tweets to me.
Yeah, for sure.
But someone said in the Elon Musk biography, Isaacson, I guess who wrote it, tells of a poker game where Elon Musk went all in every time until he won. So this is an analogy for how Musk, in Peter Thiel's words, understands something about risk that everybody else doesn't, and how he's able to create companies that, and then, the show more part wasn't extended. But then somebody asked a question, pretty simple question. How did he continue playing after he went all in and lost? And the simple answer, he just kept buying more chips. And that's the thing when you're as rich as Elon, there's no such thing as failure. If this was just, if I started that car company, if I mortgaged my house and bought that car company, which you can't do because it's a billion-dollar company. But let's say I did that and I had a launch as bad as a Cybertruck, I'd be instantly ruined. Instantly ruined. Right? But for Elon, now he'll just buy another company and just ruin that too, and just keep on going ad infinitum because he's the richest man in the world. So to call Elon Musk a business genius is preposterous. He just has too much money to fail. That's all that is. He was born rich. He was born in apartheid South Africa. His father owned a fucking emerald mine. He used to walk around town with gems in his pockets. That's how rich he was. So to call him a business genius is, like I said last week, he's not, sitting in front of a whiteboard trying to calculate infinity. He's just a dude, bro, who just has a lot of money, invest in companies, and put himself on the board. That's it. So when you see him out there talking about the Cybertruck, and he's such a goofus, I swear. I mean, I am a certified weirdo, right? I'm definitely not Denzel Washington, but looking at Elon Musk, I'm just like, girls, I mean, it's not because of his looks. I mean, he looks like a goofus. He does. But he has all these women and all these kids because he got all that money. I guess there's something to be said about that. And not ragging on the women who are with him because of that. I mean, you do you, but I'm just saying that it's just like you could just look at Elon and just automatically not want to buy shit from him. I wouldn't buy perfume from him on Jamaica Avenue, much less a fucking car, just by looking at him. But it is what it is. I'm going to ask you a simple question, Odie. If they give you a Cybertruck for free, would you drive it or would you sell it?
I would sell it. I'd rather do something else with that cash. Like, how much are they selling for?
They start at 60 grand.
Yeah, I'd sell it and use that money to buy land.
Pretty much.
That's what I would do. Like, something that's gonna definitely grow in value. I don't, and you know what's crazy is like normally for situations like that, I probably would not regret, but just like look back on it and be like, damn, like maybe I sold too soon, or like will be concerned about, or maybe like be obsessed with like seeing that it gets more valuable over time and be like, damn, I missed out. Like instead of looking at the 60,000 I might have gotten off of the sale, I might look at it and say, like, damn, I lost, 200,000 by not waiting or something like that. I wouldn't even give a fuck. I wouldn't give a fuck. Like I'd be happy for the 60,000 and keep it pushing. I'd take the cash. It's way too ugly. It's not functional. It's not even like my, like at the very least, I might even like just focus on getting my dream car with that money. But I honestly at this point in my life, I'd find some land to buy and go about my day.
Right, exactly. Same here, pretty much. I mean, aside from the fact that I don't drive a car, I wouldn't even feel as good giving it to one of my relatives. I'm like, I don't want you driving around this fucking death trap. First time it rains, your battery just fries up on you. Nah, I wouldn't, I'd sell it and buy you a car that you could actually drive. So, but speaking of morons, Jesse Waters from Fox News. was on a podcast recently, and this dude was talking about we talked about this briefly last week, the fast food workers in California. So if you work for a major fast food chain, your minimum wage is now going to be $20 an hour. Jesse Waters thought that if you make $20 an hour, that you're making six figures a year.
What?
And then when they corrected him and he said, you and your spouse would be making that, like he just assumed that your spouse would also be working in fast food. You know, and it could be
Even
happening.
so, yeah, even if that's the case, no, that's not how that works.
I know people who are couples who both work work in the same restaurant at one point, you know.
Anything, like, but a lot of the times, like, even if that were true with like overtime, let's say you worked so much overtime that you made 50,000 again before taxes. So you got like 10,000 in overtime, or 10, between 10 and $12,000 in overtime, and so did your spouse. Like, that's before taxes. So that's not what you're taking home. And a lot of the times, these fast food restaurants don't want to pay you benefits. Like, they're on some Walmart shit. They're going to put you at just enough hours. Like, you're not going to get overtime, is what I'm saying. Because they're going to put you at just enough hours that they ain't got to give you no benefits, but also go ahead, just pay you on an hourly rate. So your checks are never going to be consistent. And you're not going to have, even though your bills are consistent and water costs and rent costs the same amount pretty much every month.
Yeah, it's absolutely preposterous. But the fact that Jesse Waters thought that if you had two people in the household making $20 an hour, that that's still 100 grand a year, and I'm like, no, that's like 80 grand a year before taxes. You know, Jesse Waters makes $5 million a year, and then he says, and then but he had the nerve to denigrate fast food workers like it's not that hard. I would love to see Jesse Waters working at McDonald's during the lunch rush, just to see how far he'd get. He would even make it to 1 o'clock before he quit. Anybody who's worked in food service could tell you that it's not easy. There was a woman who on TikTok who was so pissed because she used to work so because for years she worked as a waitress in like one of those large chains. And she said, you can't even take a break because if you even stop moving for a second, your boss will disappear out of nowhere. If you can lean, you can clean, you know, or some shit like that. And then she said, I got an office job. She said, I don't do shit all day. And I make way more money than I did as a waitress. So she was like, how come I didn't know this before? You know, it's like, this is bullshit. Yeah, you know, I don't do shit all day. And I get paid way more than I got paid as a waitress, busting my ass every day for the scraps. You know, and you figure for someone like Jesse Waters who makes $5 million a year, right, for talking on a microphone, and like at least with me and you, Odie, we write our own stuff. You think Jesse Waters is writing his own stuff when he's on Fox News? No, someone else is writing it for him. All he does is dress up in a suit and just be ignorant for however many hours he's on his show, and then that's it. And they give this motherfucker $5 million a year, and some waitress busting her ass on a lunch rush. Jesse Waters is looking down on you. Fuck you, Jesse Waters, you cocksucking piece of shit. You fucking idiot. You know, I can't stand people like Jesse Waters. You know, and I'm not one for violence. You know what? I'm just gonna leave it at that. Speaking of violence, O.J. Simpson died the other day, and I couldn't really muster up enough energy to even put up like a joke about him. Like I was just so over OJ, you know, years ago. He died of cancer. He was 76. He died of cancer recently. And I got a couple people on my Facebook friends page who were just like, rest in peace, OJ, just generically, and that's all they said. And everybody else was just like, man, fuck this guy. You know. What are your quick thoughts on OJ, Odie?
It was a wild fucking ride. That man absolutely killed that white woman and her companion. I don't think he planned to kill the white boy that she was found with, but and I'm so sorry. I know his name was like Ronald something. I'm sorry, I'm like not remembering his name right offhand. But it's just weird because he really got away with it and then taunted people about it. Like that shit becoming his personality after the trials and everything was very odd. Especially considering this wasn't just your ex-wife. This is the ex-wife and mother of your children. So like your children had to see this shit. And I don't know what type of relationship he had with them in the end. But if they are mourning the loss of their father, then my condolences to them. Like, and good luck through this grieving journey because it's gonna be a journey. There's probably gonna be days that they wake up and they like can't stand thinking about him. And then other days they're gonna be like, I miss my dad. I get it. But yeah, like I'm just not affected. Like, am I gonna be like a bitch like Caitlyn Jenner and say, good riddance? No, not at all. And I didn't even kill anybody with my car, and I'm still not like good riddance to OJ. But yeah, I just think that people's reputations are very complicated. So I kind of get it, but like at the same time, just like I'm just not affected. I'm just like shoulder shrugs, like, okay, at the end of the day gotta end. Like everybody's clock is gonna get punched at one point or another.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing that really pissed me off about OJ dying is that Mark Furman is still alive to talk about it. Like, Mark Furman is the reason why OJ didn't serve time in prison for Nicole Brown Simpson's death, right? First of all, fuck Nicole Brown Simpson's parents, because if what I remember is true, she wanted to leave OJ and they wouldn't let her because he was rich. So there's that. Second of all, Furman is the reason why OJ got off, because she tried to plant evidence that didn't even fit, and Johnny Cochran used it as a loophole to get him off. And now, where's Mark Furman now? He's an author. He wrote a book about the murder, and then he's a regular on Fox News. He's a frequent guest of Sean Hannity, which should surprise no one. Someone had a song, a parody song, a la Weird Al. It wasn't by Weird Al. He doesn't do political comedy, but he was talking about Mark Furman, and I'm gonna forgive the phrasing because it makes the song fit. But there's a song from the Beatles called Eleanor Rigby, and the chorus goes like, "I look at all the lonely people," and for Mark Furman, they said, "I set up all the colored people."
I get it.
But the thing is, if not for Furman's incompetence and just
Yep.
going into the
And
mode of just
blatant
going,
racism.
yeah, then OJ would have gotten what he deserved. So, the fact that Mark Furman is still alive to shit on OJ after he died is just, it just kind of goes to show you that's just the way. That's just the way I'm just trying to be like not so negative about it, but Jesus Christ, man, just the way these things work out, you know? But, and speaking about the way things are working out, I just want to, I got suckered by this a little bit. There was a video that was circulating on Facebook of Puffy, and there's like a little kid in his lap, and he's reading out a whole bunch of names. This is basically from years ago for some sort of party that he had, and he was calling out the guest list. So this isn't, it wasn't like some sort of Epstein style list that he's reading out
Yeah,
in
okay.
retaliation to him getting getting indicted. It was basically, it's an old video of him calling out names on a birthday list. And people were posting it on TikTok as if it was, oh, he calling names, you know. And I'm just like, yeah, okay, it doesn't even seem right. I had to look it up. So if you saw that and just thought, oh, Puffy's not going down alone. Yeah, he's probably going down alone. So, you
Now, I
know.
do want to know where Farnsworth Bentley is. If you recall, that was the
Holy
man
shit.
that
That's
used
a
to.
name I haven't heard in years.
Right. He's married and stuff, but I know he's seen some shit.
Oh, hell yeah.
I'm just like, where is the fucking, like, when is the prosecution gonna call him as a witness? Because, so we'll see. We'll see.
I swear to God, the first time I ever saw Farnsworth, and it's funny, I looked him up, and the first thing you see is Farnsworth holding an umbrella. Was Farnsworth like walking behind Puffy holding an umbrella over his head? That's the first time I ever seen Farnsworth. And I was just like, that's like the most butleringest butler I've ever seen in my life. Supposedly he's a rapper and an actor. Supposedly he still has an Instagram
Yeah, he does.
with 200,000 followers on it.
I mean, he's still popular. Like, people remember who he is, but like I said, I haven't been tuned in to any of these trials. But the way I would tune in that day, if he were to testify, I'll be all the way tuned in. Like, I'm trying to live stream that bitch. Like, I want to see that in real time. I don't want to see clips after the fact. I need to see that in real time.
Hold on.
So we'll see. We'll see how that all shakes out. That damn RICO trial going on with a Young Thug is crazy as fuck. Like, it always seems like there's something coming out of that trial, and I can't believe it hasn't been a mistrial at this point. That's a wild show, but it's also very on brand for Atlanta. That's what makes it kind of funny. But charges themselves aren't funny. Pretty serious charges, actually, but seeing how things are shaking out down there is very on brand for Atlanta, and that's what makes it hilarious.
Yep, exactly. So, and I don't know if he's from Atlanta. Where's Terrence Howard from originally?
I think he's from a southern state. I just can't remember. I feel like it's either Tennessee, like Memphis, or Louisiana. I don't, but not New Orleans.
Hold on, I gotta look it up real quick.
Yeah, now, because like now I feel like I remember him, and not just because of Hustle and Flow. I'm not saying Memphis because of Hustle and Flow. I really feel like, or Mississippi, Mississippi. Final answer.
He was born in Chicago.
No fucking way.
Yeah.
Where was he raised though?
That's what I'm looking for. Oh, he was raised in Cleveland.
Okay, well, what the fuck? Well, shut my mouth. The only reason I thought he was Mississippi was my final answer because I remember just recently, like on his Instagram, like last year, he posted a clip and he was so excited to find a seeded watermelon. And he was just like, yeah, like I'm bringing this shit all the way back. Like he brought it through TSA and he had gone down. He said he went down south to visit some of his people in Mississippi. And so that's where he found his watermelon with the seeds in it. So that's why I was like, damn, like I guess, like, yeah.
It's the reason why we have science, so we could have watermelons without seeds. Because who's eating watermelon seeds? It's not like they're
Well,
sunflower seeds, they're
no,
watermelon.
it's not about that. It's about the fact that it's man-made. It's like basically, would you pick the chicken that's been pumped full of chemicals, or would you pick the closest thing to a natural chicken? Yeah, it's gonna be smaller, but it's gonna be natural.
I got you. I
So
got you.
not man-made.
Probably because I don't eat watermelon.
I love watermelon, so I do understand. I do understand why he was excited to find one with seeds in it.
I don't eat melons, period. But my whole family does. Like in the summertime, all you see, the whole bottom of the fridge is just all watermelons and honeydew melons and just especially my mom, she loved melons. But
Yeah.
I was just, it just wasn't for me. I just couldn't stand the taste of them.
But I don't like watermelon flavored beverages. Like I
Me
don't like
neither.
watermelon juice. I don't like watermelon anything. Like just a regular watermelon is fine. And it's
I'm
gotta be
not,
cold.
yeah, I'm not gonna lie to you. I got a watermelon Gatorade by accident. I took one sip of it and I just poured the rest of it out in the sink. Like
Yeah,
I was just
kinda
like,
good.
I can't believe I didn't read the label on this. I can't drink this. Like
Yeah.
anything, what? Like I don't eat tomatoes. Like if I order something and it has tomatoes, I'll have the tomatoes taken out. But I eat ketchup, I eat tomato
Right.
sauce, stuff like that. But watermelon, like nothing watermelon. I can't stand it. Yeah, it's just like, ugh. But the reason why I bring up Terrence Howard, have you seen him lately?
I did see a clip of him talking about the CAA.
Yeah. And here's the thing. What he's talking
therapist.
about is real, but his hair is
It's so
ridiculous.
distracting.
Oh my God. Terrence Howard looked like he about to send Smokey to the store to buy cigarettes with not enough money. Or he looked like he about to slap the shit out of Tina Turner. Like, I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Dude, you're like 55 years old. What are
I
we
do
doing here?
wonder, like how much of this was staged. Like,
Yeah.
what was the reason? Because he's not a stupid man. I refuse to
No.
believe that he's, there's got to be a reason, and I'm really curious as to what it was. But I guess, like, so people would pay attention to what he was saying. But like, but were we paying attention to what you were saying? Because your hair was so distracting. It seemed like a gimmick. So
Yeah.
I don't know. But I like Terrence Howard. He's fairly unproblematic. I can't think of anything right off that he's
I
done to
mean,
like piss me off. So I
he says a
like
lot
him.
of he says a lot of weird shit that doesn't make any sense, but for the most part, he's harmless, you
Yeah,
know?
he's not problematic though. Like, yeah, okay.
Yeah. And one thing I one more thing I have here, hold on. And this is my fault because usually I have all this stuff written down, and I think preparing for my colonoscopy, I just paid too much. I just paid more. It was my first colonoscopy, so I was paying more attention to like the prep than anything else. But I don't know, Odie. This could be the one for Beyonce, right? Because
Don't get me started.
Beyonce's Cowboy Carter is. Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah, I was right. All the Cowboy Carter haters, all the people who crawled out from under rocks just to talk shit about Beyonce and be like, yeah, Beyonce, yeah. Right? She's a country. One dude was one person was like, keep country clean. Like, wow. Just come out and be like, we don't want niggas in country. I don't, pardon my language, but like just say that instead of like keep country clean. I'd be less shocked if they use the N-word than for them to just say keep country clean because you don't like Beyonce. And I will almost guarantee that most of those people who were shitting on Beyonce never heard the album.
No, exactly. Didn't bother to listen. But again, don't have a problem with Taylor Swift doing country songs, even though she's a pop girly. These guys like Post Malone, who completely pivoted from like rap to country, he's on the album. I always like Congratulations. I heard that song the other day and I really like that song. It's such a nice song. But he's done other stuff too that I've enjoyed. But it's just like, y'all don't have the same energy. Like, we know. And then it's like, you try to gaslight us and say, it's not because she's black. It's because, she sings about, lemonade and she's married to a rapper and she raps and all this other shit. No, bitch. Again, Post Malone, Jelly Roll, these guys are mixing genres up as well. And you don't have the same energy for them because they look like you. Even
Exactly.
though, literally, Post Malone looks like a dirty ass motherfucker. Like, I'm not gonna lie there. He do tattoos on his face. His hair just looks dirty. He just looks like a dirty motherfucker. He might smell good, but I don't know. Like,
He
he
looks
just
like
looks dirty.
Pigpen from Charlie Brown. He does.
Looks
He
like
just looks.
the irony of you calling it saying keep country clean. Like, y'all literally don't bathe yourselves. What are you talking about? Nobody's cleaner than us.
The reason why I bring up Beyonce today is because when I pulled up her discography, Beyonce's Cowboy Carter is number one in 10 countries. That's the United States, Australia, Canada, France, Germany, Ireland, Netherlands, New Zealand, Switzerland, and the UK. No other
Interesting.
Beyonce album has done that. The only one that came close was Renaissance, which was number one in 8 countries. It just wasn't number one in.
That's wild. I never
In
would have.
Germany or Switzerland, and then most countries are number two.
I didn't think country had that kind of reach, but I stand corrected.
Yeah. So could this be the one that finally gets her coveted Album of the Year award?
I hope so, because I know I want that for her because she wants it. I want that for her because I know she wants it. Oh man, I hope so. She was not at the CMTs as well. I don't know if the CMTs are pre-recorded, like other award shows might be. So maybe that's why she wasn't there. But it seemed like the perfect opportunity to invite her if it was not pre-recorded. I don't know. We'll see. We'll fucking see. But that's my girl. I've been enjoying the project. A lot of songs have been growing on me. The Levi Jean song with Post Malone is pretty good. But yeah, just fuck Beyonce. Good luck, girl. Good luck, because it's about to be some bullshit. I'm waiting for her though to see what's going on with her touring this summer. Because if she don't tour, then I guess I'll go see Missy Elliott. And that'll probably be the only show that I check out this summer.
So, all right. Before we wrap up here, I saw something this morning that I wanted to talk about real quick. It's about video games. And I'm not going to geek out on it for too long, but these two dudes had a video and they were talking about some studies that they saw where most people play games that are about 6 and 7 years old. People are still playing Grand Theft Auto 5. That game came out 10 years ago. It came out on Xbox 360. So there were already two more Xboxes since then when that game first came out. And people are still playing every seem like every other month I see a commercial for more DLC for Grand Theft Auto 5. Because it started out as a just a regular, game, and then they put it online as an open world game. And people still play it. And a lot of people are shying away from new games. And one of the reasons why they're shying away from new games is, well, for two main reasons. Number one, the price. The price of games will keep going up. And you have studios like Microsoft, where it's like, okay, well, we've made more money than we've ever made in games, but we're still going to lay off 2,000 people. That affects people in their perception of games, right? Also, you have all these AAA games that are coming out practically broken. One of the main things is one of the main culprits is Cyberpunk 2077. It basically it, the game came out broken. Someone had a video of nearly 15 minutes. That's forever for this type of thing of just glitches. 15-minute video of all the glitches of people like ending up inside of desks, cars that are not supposed to be flying in the air. I mean, the game came out broken. It took them 2 years to fix this game. And even after that, I bought it on sale for Xbox and it was so broken, I had to get a refund. It's the first time in all my video game history where I've ever had to get a refund for an Xbox game because it was just unplayable. It wasn't like, oh, I played and I didn't like it. The game just would not work. And I had to get a refund for it. So all these AAA games coming out broken, people were just like, well, I'll just stick to what's fun and what works. Hell, if they didn't force you off of the NBA 2K games, people would probably still be playing 2K16. So this whole notion of, I mean, it's not about they don't try, I mean, they're not giving people incentive to try new games or to play new games. And these games are not cheap to make. It's not like mumble rappers making an album every, 18 months because they can't, because they don't talk about shit. It's these video games are a huge undertaking and it costs a lot of money. But you have these AAA studios who are cutting budgets because they want to give more money to shareholders, pushing games out early so shareholders can get a return, and it's costing them. Because now people are just like, hey, I'm not going to pay $70 for a game that's probably not going to work. What I'll do is I'll wait a year. I'll wait until they patch it. I'll wait until it works properly, and then I'll get it on sale for half price. So their own lack of quality is what's hurting them. And then you have a game like Baldur's Gate 3, which won a whole bunch of Game of the Years in 2023 and deserved every single one, where there's no microtransactions, just the entire game. The game is huge, by the way, and the replay value on it is insane. My brother's on his like his sixth playthrough, and it's not like okay, you could beat the game in like 6 hours. Each game is like each playthrough is an undertaking, but it gives you so many different ways to play. You can play as a, I mean, it's the game is just fantastic. And there's no microtransactions, no nothing. Only thing we're disappointed about is that that studio is no longer going to be working with Dungeons and Dragons for their next game. So there's not going to be a Baldur's Gate 4 from them. If they do, it's going to be from someone else. And I'm probably not going to play it. If Larian Studios is not doing another Baldur's Gate, then that's the end of Baldur's Gate for me, as far as I'm concerned. So it's a lot of game studio reputations. Like when you lay off 3,000 workers after making a successful game, people read that, you know, and then they're just going to say, well, you know, if that's where they're going to be, I'll just go to a different studio, or I'll just trust in a different game. Because then you know whatever's going to come out is going to be low quality because you just fired all the people who made the game great in the first place. People see that and they react to it. So all for all these industry people complaining that, you know, oh, people don't want to try new games, they don't want this. And the biggest example, they just made a game called Kill the Suicides. I mean, no, it's Kill. Oh, you know, I botched it. Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League. Sorry about that. The game flopped on a cosmic scale. But now Warner Brothers is saying, well, we're going to make all our games live action games just like Kill the Justice League. Even though they also made the Harry Potter game, Hogwarts, which was a major success, but it wasn't a live action game. They just want games that people will just pay to play forever. And that's fine because there are games that there are people that do that. I played World of Warcraft for 15 years. And I paid a subscription to play. So there are games like that. But the thing is, World of Warcraft gives you so much content. You could never put World of Warcraft on a console. It's too damn big. You're talking about almost 20. This game came out in 2004. So this November will be 20 years it's been out. And they pushed an expansion every 2 years. So there's no way it'll fit on console. But there are people who've been playing from the beginning, who've been paying $15 a month for this game. And that's like the white whale that all these people are chasing. Everybody wants a Grand Theft Auto 5. Everybody wants a World of Warcraft. And sometimes you just need to make a Baldur's Gate 3 to keep people engaged. So it's just greed that's killing video games. People used to do put innovation in the games. Now they're going for profit motive. And it's hurting the industry, and people are reacting to it in a bad way. So, Odie, what are your final thoughts?
Final thoughts, you know, they say death comes in threes, and it looks like that was the case this week. So rest in peace to Roberto Cavalli, acclaimed fashion designer. First time I ever heard of him is if you Google Roberto Cavalli Aaliyah dress, it'll come right up. I think she wore it to the MTV Music Awards, music or movie, I can't remember. But it was like this. It just fit great on Aaliyah because, I mean, she had a great body. She had a model's body, and she was just a beautiful woman. So yeah, rest in peace to him. Rest in peace to Mr. C,
Oh, yeah.
who we know to be responsible for launching Biggie's career. I would say that that's like the main artist I've always heard, and he was very popular on Hot 97. Rip to Mr. C. He was found in his home and passed away earlier this week. And then rest somewhere. I don't know if it should be in peace or not, but rest somewhere to OJ Simpson. Again, shoulder shrug. You can't see me, but I'm shrugging my shoulders.
Yeah.
Condolences to the family. That's all I got.
You know, M Mr. C for me was like, and first time I heard him to C, he was Big Daddy Kane's DJ starting.
Okay. Yeah. They talked about him on Sway in the Morning, and his legacy and impact. You know what's funny is like, okay, so first of all, I'd listen to Sway in the Morning because it is so positive. And interestingly enough, I used to listen to Power 105 to through iHeartRadio to listen to The Breakfast Club. But again, remember I said like I've always believed that Jess hilarious. Like I wish her luck. Don't get me wrong, she's still a black woman. Even though she's problematic, but and not my cup of tea, but I still wish her luck as another Black woman. But I personally wasn't supporting the Breakfast Club anymore. So, sure enough, we got news that they got dropped from Atlanta. So they're not syndicated in the Atlanta market anymore. And that's not to say that they can't, Atlanta people can't listen to Breakfast Club. Like, they could just listen to the Breakfast Club, but just like, some through iHeartRadio, like I do.
Right.
But they're no longer syndicated in the Atlanta market. I forgot what their station is called. So I was like, that's not a good sign considering that she just got there. But in any case, Sway in the Morning is like the anti-Breakfast Club to me. It's very positive, it's very uplifting. A lot of great positive energy. Something ha it's more representational of how you want your day to start, right? So they were going on and on, obviously, about Mr. C, because they're hip hop heads and, again, positive people. But when it came to announcing OJ's death, because I think they passed away on the same day, or at least we found out about him at the same time. And when OJ, it was pretty much like, oh, OJ Simpson died. And then they played the song of OJ, the story of OJ by Jay-Z.
That's
Which was
cold.
quite petty, a little off brand for them, but at the same time, they're human. And so I kind of get it. It's like you want to acknowledge, but I was like, damn, if like they can't, if even they can't find something nice to say about your legacy and your impact, then you probably were a trash person. You probably deserve what little recognition they gave you. So yeah, I just thought that was really funny. Yeah, story of OJ. That was it.
All right. If you haven't already, you can subscribe to us anywhere where you can get podcasts, including Apple, Amazon, and Spotify. So everybody go out, have a great day, and we will see you again next week.
Bye, guys.